Turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 3, we continue, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. Now, we've been seeing some great truths from God's Word. We've been seeing truths concerning salvation, eternal life, man's sin, God's grace. We're seeing God's plan to take fallen man and bring him back to himself. Now, how does he do that? He does it through his Son, Jesus Christ. As we study this morning, we're continuing in what we're calling the solution section of the book of Romans. We have seen that man has a problem. We're fallen. We're sinful. We're under sin. In fact, Romans 3:9 says that all Jews and Greek, we've charged, all are under sin. Now, we're seeing God's solution. We've seen how man can be right with God. How can we do that? Well, it's by faith in Jesus Christ. This morning we're continuing, we're seeing one of, I think, the greatest message ever given, and that is how the perfect God brings sinful man back to himself using his Son, Jesus Christ, and it's simply by faith. It's so perfect. We want to see the grace of God in our lives this morning. Well, as we begin, let's just understand, and we've seen it all the way, in fact, in Romans chapters 1, 2, and 3, we saw over and over that mankind, that we're fallen people, that each one of us has sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're separated from God. So we raise this question. We say, what can we do to get right with God? What can we do to satisfy God? We find that in our world, there are many things that people think they can do. We call this religion, but a lot of people think, let's say, I'll be good, or I'll go to church, or I'll live a good life, or I'll try to keep the Ten Commandments, I'll help other people, I'll do more and more. And the question is, what can you and I have to offer God? What can we do to satisfy God? We realize our righteousness, as Isaiah 64:6 says, our righteousness is just filthy rags. So what in the world are we going to offer? What can we do to satisfy God? Well, the answer is nothing. We can't satisfy God. The truth is, he is already satisfied in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died on the cross. He paid for our sins. God has done it all. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ came and died and rose again. He is the only one who can and does satisfy God. We have to realize that we're not on this earth to try to satisfy God. He's already satisfied. We are here to take the free gift of eternal life, which comes by faith. This morning, we continue in our study, the study of the book of Romans. We're going to see the great truth that Jesus Christ is the satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. There's some great things we'll see as we go through this. I pray you'll be excited as we study this. You know, when we look in chapter 3 and these section, it's so powerful. Last week I talked to some guys and they said, JB, it was just such good stuff. They just wanted to shout out. I said, well, go ahead, shout out if you really want to. I mean, it's so good when you think about what's in this passage. Let's begin. As we begin, let's remember where we are in the study. In this first section of the book of Romans, we're seeing the problem. We've seen it over and over. We saw it chapter 1, chapter 2, and the first part of chapter 3. Chapter 1, we find it that the bad man can't measure up to God. We said, that's right. Bad people, they do bad things, they can't measure up. Then we saw in chapter 2, the good guy. The good guy says, I'm not as bad as the bad guy. Well, that's true, but the truth is the good guy's bad. And they sin and they can't measure up. And then we went to the religious guy, and the religious guy looks down on the bad guy and the good guy. But the truth is, religious guy sins. So there's none righteous, no, not one. And we found in the summary statement of Romans chapter 3, verse 9, what then, are we better than they are? Not at all. We have already concluded and charged that Jews and Greeks all are under sin. So it doesn't make any difference. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, as we got into chapter 3, beginning in verse 19, but only into basically 20 and 21, we saw what we call the solution. God has a solution for the problem that none of us are righteous. And we've got an overhead that shows this. Section 2 is the solution. Romans 3:21 to 4:25 is the way of salvation. Now, this is great. I'm just so glad we moved from chapters 1, 2, and 3 to the middle of chapter 3 and on into 4, which is the way of salvation. We are justified. We are declared righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. We saw in 19 and 20 that the law condemns us because the law shows us that we're sinners. Apart from the law, we are justified simply by faith. This is the section that we're in this morning, 21 through 28. We are justified as a gift simply by faith. We see it's not only just for Jew or Gentile, it's for both. The Jew and the Gentile all come to God in the same way. And then we get into chapter 4, we're going to see some Old Testament examples of Abraham and David justified simply by faith. So the solution is, the only way of salvation is we come to God by faith in Jesus Christ. Not our works, not our goodness, not our righteousness. Last week we looked at verses 21, 22, 23, and 24. I want to remind you that when we saw those verses, there were two things that just stood out. Number one is we are declared right, declared righteous, simply by faith. It's that simple. We're declared right before God simply by faith. There's a second thing. We are made righteous by faith. Now, this to me is the most incredible truth in the Scripture. That here we are, bad man, good man, religious man, doesn't make any difference. We're all unrighteous. God actually gives us righteousness, the righteousness that He demands, and it comes simply by faith. To whoever believes, He gives righteousness. Now, that's the greatest thing, because you can't earn it. Our righteousness is rags. The only way we can be righteous is God gives it to us by faith. Look at, before we get into verse 22, I want to remind you of something. Last time we went over some terms, and I think it's important that we understand those terms so that we can see how things fit together. So let me put the terms up. There were six terms. There are more in the book of Romans. We'll get to some more later. But the six terms, grace, faith, justification, imputation, redemption, and propitiation are terms that we need to understand. Now, I went a lot of detail on this last week, so I won't go the same this morning. But grace is simply unmerited favor from God. It's getting what we don't deserve. It's God giving us by His grace. It's not, we don't earn it. He doesn't look down and say, boy, they're trying so hard because we weren't trying hard. We were like sheep going astray. It is the grace of God that how He deals with us. Second was the word faith. Faith means to take as true, to take God at His word, to believe as true. Faith is a key because it's not the amount of faith that we have. It is not the quality of faith that we have that saves us. It is the object of our faith that saves us. We put our faith in Jesus Christ. Now remember that, because you're going to hear people say things like, did you really believe? Were you sincere? Did you have a heart faith or a head faith? None of that is in the Scripture. It is faith in Christ. The object of your faith saves you. The third word was the word justification, and we find it all the way through. In fact, we're going to read it two or three times today. Justification means to be declared righteous. It's a legal term. It was used in the courts that God actually says, I declare you to be right. We are justified by faith. The last verse we'll look at this morning, 3:28, says He maintains that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. The fourth word was imputation. That word itself was not in here, but the truth of imputation is found. It means to be made righteous. God actually gives us righteousness, imputes it or credits it to our account whenever we believe in Jesus Christ. Now, that's a great truth. Fourth word was the word redemption. Redemption means to purchase by paying a price. And redemption is Jesus Christ died for us and paid for sins. In verse 22 or 23, 24, it talks about the redemption in Jesus Christ. And then last but not least is the word propitiation. It means a satisfactory payment. If you've got a New American Standard or a King James or a New King James, it will use in verse 25 this morning, it will use propitiation. If you have an NIV, it will say a sacrifice of atonement. We're going to talk more about it, but propitiation means the payment that satisfies. Satisfactory payment. We'll talk more about it in just a little bit because that's the key. All of these terms are vital. We need to know those and understand. We need to know what God has done for us, how He has brought us to Himself through His Son. We need to understand these things. Now, let's put together the passage that we saw last week. We're going to get a running start to the passage this morning. We're beginning to see the great solution. We who are not righteous can have God's righteousness by faith. Look at verse 22. We saw it last week. He says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Even the righteousness of God, God's righteousness to us, how? Through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. Now, what he says in this verse, and we talked about it last week, simply put is, God gives you His righteousness when you believe in Jesus Christ. It's that simple. It's not complex. You have to have God's righteousness to be able to be with Him. He's a perfect righteous God. To be able to spend eternity with Jesus, you're going to have to be just as righteous as He is. Our righteousness is rags. We can't measure up. He says, when you believe in Jesus, I will give you the righteousness that you demand, that I demand, and you'll be like me. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ for those who believe. Two different times he says faith and belief. He just wants to make sure we understand it's not by works, it's simply by faith. Look down at verse 24. He says, being justified, that's the word declared righteous, being declared righteous, notice, as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. He said you are declared right before God, not based on your works or goodness, but based on His grace and His gift through the redemption, through the purchasing of Jesus Christ. He purchased us. He bought us. He died for us and paid for our sins. Now, those two words stand out, gift and grace. We are not saved by our works. We're not saved by our goodness. Now, there are people who are not very clear on this, and they'll talk about coming to Jesus and coming to God, and they'll say things like, be willing to do this and make him this and be willing to turn away from and do all of these things. Listen, it is a gift and it is grace. It is not your works. It is simply faith in Jesus Christ that saves you. So last week we saw the key thing on justification and imputation, which is to be declared right and made right simply by faith in Christ. Now, this morning, as we continue on, we're going to see another aspect of these great truths that tie together. And we're going to see that Jesus, when he died on the cross and paid for our sin and rose again, he is the satisfactory payment for our sins. He is the payment that satisfies God. It's pretty powerful. There has to be a payment for sin. And the payment for sin is death. Somebody's got to pay it. Jesus Christ paid it. Let's look at it. Look at verse 25. He says, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation. If you've got an NIV, it says a sacrifice of atonement as a propitiation in his blood through faith. Now, let's stop there for a second. He's been talking about Jesus. He talked about the redemption. He's talked about justification and declared righteous and made righteous. And then he says, God displayed Jesus Christ publicly as a satisfactory payment. That's what he says. Now, in a minute, we're going to talk about why was it a public thing? Why, and the public thing is Jesus on the cross. Why would God put Jesus on the cross and let the whole world for all eternity know and understand that Jesus died on the cross taking mankind's sin? He did it in a public way. We'll see why in just a minute. But he says, whom God displays publicly as a propitiation. Now, if you got NIV, it says sacrifice of atonement. If you got New American Standard or King James, it'll say propitiation. Now, let me tell you something. The translation, the best translation of this word, propitiation, literally means a satisfactory payment. Now, NIV is fine, but I think the NIV does not translate this accurately. Sacrifice of atonement. The word atonement means covering. It does not mean payment. In the Old Testament, the most important day in the Old Testament was called Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, or the Day of Covering. When the NIV translates this, a sacrifice of atonement, that would be a sacrifice of covering. I want you to understand, Jesus didn't cover your sins. Jesus paid for your sins. That's why the better translation is propitiation, which means a satisfactory payment. So whenever you read your NIV and you see sacrifice of atonement, think of payment for sin, because that's what he did. Notice it says, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation. Now let's talk for a minute about that, because it means a satisfactory payment. How does this work? You understand that sin equals death. That the wages of sin equals death. The soul that sins shall die. Here's the problem. Every human being has sinned at least once. Most of us once every few seconds. But anyway, we've all sinned. What happens? So what's the wages of sin? It's death. What do we owe God? Death. So there's going to have to be a payment. God says, you sin, you die. But what God did, because he loved us so much, is that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come die in our place, to pay the penalty for our sins. He came, and when he died on the cross, because we all know that Jesus died on the cross to do what? To pay for our sins. He is the propitiation. He is the satisfactory payment. So when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he is our substitute. He is the redemption. He died and paid the payment for not only our sins, but the sins of the entire world. This verse tells us God has shown his son to be, publicly displayed him to be, the satisfactory payment. So I want you to understand something. God is satisfied in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ as the payment for our sin. So what do we have to do to satisfy God? The answer is nothing. He's already satisfied. I spent a lot of my life, first 19 years before I put my faith in Jesus, I thought that I would have to do something to please God and to satisfy him. So I did all these good things. I did good, I did bad. I did more good than bad to make sure that when I stood before God, I'd come with this big wheelbarrow full of filthy rags. I didn't know it was filthy rags. I was going to do all my good works and I would say, does that satisfy you, God? And God would say, I thought he would say, well, that's more good than bad. Yeah, that's pretty good. I didn't know that when I would stand before God with all my works and say, "Does that satisfy you?" He'd say, "No, I'm already satisfied. I'm already satisfied with the death of my son, Jesus Christ. He's already died on the cross and paid for your sin. You can't satisfy me. I'm not wanting you to satisfy me. I'm wanting you to take the gift of eternal life." See the difference? He says God has sent forth His Son. God has publicly displayed Jesus Christ as a propitiation. What do we do to satisfy God? Nothing. Let me give you this illustration. Let's say I go downtown and I go to a store and there's some suits. There's a suit in there I want. I know the owner and I say, "Hey, that's a good looking suit." He said, "Yeah. How much is it?" "It's about $500. I went, "Ooh, boy, I really like it. Hey, I'll tell you what, JB. I'll get you the suit. You take the suit. You pay me when you can." I go, "Okay." I can't pay him. Every time I see him downtown, I go, "Hey, I'm going to pay you one of these days." He goes, "Yeah, right." Well, one day John left the Rockus, goes into the store, and they're talking, and somehow it comes up about me, and the guy says, "You know, I like JB, but he owes me $500 for a suit." And John says, "He does? Look, I'll just pay it. Here." And that man is now satisfied. The next time I'm walking down the street and I see him, I go, "I tell you what, I'm going to pay you as soon as I can." He said, "Hey, I'm already satisfied. It's already paid for." Every one of us in this room sinned and owed God what? Death. And what did Jesus do? Jesus said, "I'm going to pay it for them." We come to God and we say, "I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this and somehow I'll please you." And God said, "It's already taken care of. Penalty's already been paid. Jesus paid it all. He is our satisfactory payment." That's what He is. That's why 1 John 2:2 says He's the satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. All sins are paid for. Jesus has done it all. What must we do? We come to God by faith in Jesus Christ. Notice what it says. It says, "Whom God's publicly displayed as a propitiation in His blood through faith." In His blood means through His death. Who is death and resurrection for us through faith. See the key word? Faith. Over and over we come to God by faith. God sent His Son to be the payment for our sins. Now there's something we got to understand. Why did He do this publicly? Why is it publicly known that Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for the sins of the entire world? Notice what He says. Last part of verse 25. "This was to demonstrate His righteousness." He's talking about God. He's saying this was to show that God is a righteous God. Well, what are we talking about? Well, I want you to understand something. Do you realize that people in the Old Testament never had a payment for sin? Think about the people in the Old Testament. What happened when they sinned in those days? Was there a payment for sin? No. They offered sacrifices that only covered their sins. And so all the people from Adam and Eve all the way up to the time of Christ, if you looked back, you'd say, those people have never had a payment for sin. Is God just overlooking their sin? Well, God can't overlook sin or else He wouldn't be a righteous God. This says here, this was to demonstrate by sending His Son to die on the cross to pay for the sin, not only of the Old Testament, but all people. It was to demonstrate, to show that God is a righteous God. So I want you to understand, how can God be righteous if He doesn't deal with sin, if He only covers sin? People in the Old Testament sinned, but their sins, did God just overlook their sin? Warren Wiersbe says this, "How can the righteous God let sin go unpunished?" You know what the answer is? He didn't. He just covered it until the proper time. All of the sins from Adam and Eve all the way up to Jesus Christ were not paid for. They were covered until Jesus Christ came and died on the cross and paid for sin. And not only did He pay for all of the sins in the past, He pays for all the sins into the future, forever. And that's why God is a just God, because He says publicly He wanted to demonstrate His righteousness, that He doesn't overlook sin, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament. Notice how the verse goes. In verse 25 it says, "This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance," forbearance means the holding back, "because in His holding back, God passed over the sins previously committed." He didn't deal with the sins in the Old Testament until he sent his son, Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came, he paid for everybody's sins, past, present, future. It's powerful. Notice what he goes on to say. So how can this righteous God deal with sin? Can he overlook sin? No, at exactly the right time, he paid for it. Notice verse 26, for the demonstration, I say, this public demonstration of his righteousness at the present time. God wants us to know that he's exactly perfect and righteous even right now, so that he would be just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. He is a righteous God because he dealt with sin. Now, there's two things that he talks about here. He calls him just and justifier. I remember when I first became a Christian, and I never had a Bible, and Nat Clark, who's a pastor, some of you know him because he did our men's retreat a couple of years ago, he gave me the first Bible I ever had. And I was reading. I remember reading. Everybody said, read Romans, because it was supposed to be good. And I got over here in Romans chapter 3, and I read through it pretty quickly. And with this part about just and justifier, the one who has faith in Jesus, I went, well, maybe someday I'll know what that's talking about. I didn't know. What does it mean, just and justifier? But it's pretty simple, really. See, God is both just, means he's righteous, and the justifier, the one who declares righteous, all those who believe in Jesus. See, he's just because he didn't overlook sin. He paid for sin. He paid for sin through his son, Jesus Christ. He's the justifier, the one who declares righteous, all those who believe in Jesus. God can take unrighteous people and declare them to be righteous, not because he overlooks sin, but because he pays for their sin through his son. That's why you can stand before Jesus Christ and he can say, it's okay for you to be with me even though you've sinned. It's because my son has already died for your sin. I'm just to punish sin. I'm the justifier of all who believe in me. It's a powerful statement. He could deal with sin in his son. He could justify a sinful man. When Jesus Christ died in our place on the cross, God is satisfied and we are made righteous by faith. God is a just God. God is a justifier. Now I want you to understand something. God's done it all. I have God's righteousness by faith. I am declared righteous by faith. All of this is based on Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, which is his redemption, and he is the satisfactory payment for all sin, not just mine only, but for the entire world. God is just, who can deal with sin and save the sinner at the same time. Aren't you glad you had a substitute? That's a different word. We hadn't got to it yet. It's the word called expiation. Someday we'll look at that along with justification, imputation, and sanctification, and redemption. There are all these words that are all throughout the Bible. Jesus Christ took your place, paid for your sins. And God says, I'm just because I deal with sin, and I'm the justifier. I declare righteous all of you who believe. Notice the key word, faith. Faith. Well, from there, quickly, we're going to look at the next two verses. Look what he goes on to say. Where then is boasting? Where's the boasting? Where can we say, this is what I did? We can't. There is no boasting. In fact, notice the verse says it is excluded. We can never stand before God and say, this is what I did so you would save me. There's nothing we did. Jesus did it all. God in his grace reaches down and gives us eternal life as a gift. Now, there are some people who will tell you in order to be saved, you need to make a public profession, turn away from your sins, give your life to Jesus, agree to serve him, get baptized, do all of these things. Let me tell you what, on every one of those, I could boast. I could say, I was willing to turn away from my sins. I was willing to make a public profession. I was willing to be baptized. I was willing to give my life and serve Jesus. Listen, there are people every Sunday and every church services and on the radio and on the television are telling people to do things to be saved. You believe in Jesus Christ. You take the gift. There's not one thing you can do. There is no boasting. If you do anything at all, you could boast and say, I did it. That's why Ephesians says, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You can't ever say, this is what I was willing to do. So he says, where's the boasting? It's excluded. And then he says, by what kind of law? Now, when he uses the word law here, he's not talking about Mosaic law or anything. He's talking about a principle. What kind of principle is it? Is it a principle of works? No. It's by the principle, by the law of faith. He says, how are we saved? Is it by some principle of doing good works? No. It's by the principle of faith. We are saved simply by faith. You know, realize that God is the Savior, not us. You don't save yourself. I've talked to people in my office who believe that they are the saviors. Because I'll say, are you going to heaven? Yes. Why? Well, because I've tried to live a good life and I've done this and I've done this. And so I look at them, I say, so you're the Savior? And I did have one couple one day say, yeah, I guess we are. We are the saviors. Yeah, we are. I said, the wages of sin is death. They're not a savior. You're not a savior. God did it all. Where's the boasting? It's excluded. Is it some kind of works? No. It's all of faith. And look at verse 28. We maintain that a man is justified, declared right by faith apart from the works of the law. It could not be any clearer than this. It is not by what you do. It is not by works. It is not by any righteousness that you have on your own. It is simply that you are declared righteous by faith. Over and over, the great truth of the grace of God, we are declared right by God simply by faith. In this passage alone, beginning in 21 through 31, 9 times he says it's just by faith. 9 times by faith. Look at verse 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. Look at verse 25. God set forth to display publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. Look at verse 26. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, that he would be the just and justify the one who has faith. Verse 27. Is it by a law of works? No, it is a law of faith. Verse 28. We maintain that man is justified by faith. Verse 30, God will indeed justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcised by faith. Verse 31, do we nullify the law through faith? No, it's faith, faith, faith. 9 times in these verses, it's faith. If people don't get it, I can't understand it. Can you? It doesn't say works. It doesn't say be good. It doesn't say try to live a good life. It doesn't say keep the Ten Commandments. It doesn't say get baptized. It doesn't say walk down an aisle. It doesn't say make a public profession. It doesn't say turn away from sins. It says believe in Jesus Christ and you are saved. It's that simple. He says we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. There's a lot more and we'll see more of this next time. What have we seen? God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be the propitiation, the satisfactory payment for our sins. He is the payment which God has satisfied. We see that God is just because he's dealt with sins, both Old Testament and New Testament. He is the justifier, the one who declares righteous all those who believe. We see there can be no boasting. It's all of God. And that we come to God by faith, not works. Let me give you 2 applications. Here's the first one. Understand that Jesus Christ is the satisfactory payment for our sins. That is the greatest truth. He came, he died on the cross, he paid for our sins. We all sin, we all owe God death. Jesus Christ died for us. He is the payment, and not only just the payment, he's the satisfactory payment. 1 John 2:2, he's the satisfactory payment not for our sins only, but for the entire world. Don't get over that verse. That means he is the payment for you. You owed God death, he paid it for you. There's 2 things involved with that. One is that God is satisfied. Payment's already been made. You'll never satisfy God. There's not one thing you can do or should try to do to satisfy God. He has already satisfied. Second, God is a just God. He's dealt with sin. He did not overlook our sin. He didn't say, oh, I'm just not going to count their sin. He is a just God because he dealt with our sin through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the satisfactory payment for our sins. There's number 2. And that is, understand this, we have salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. 9 times in this little section, it says, you're saved by faith. We come to God not by works, not by our righteousness, not by our goodness. We come by faith. There can be no boasting. When somebody says you're going to heaven, you say, yes, by the grace of God in Jesus Christ who paid for my sins and who gave me eternal life as a gift. God gets all the glory, not us. He's the Savior. I read this the other day. It says, God's love had no beginning. Because he is eternal, it has no end. Because he is infinite, it has no limits. His love is incomprehensible, vast, bottomless, and we kneel before him in joyful silence. May we come to our righteous God by faith in Jesus Christ, who died and rose again for us, being the satisfactory payment not for our sins only, but for the entire world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage. There's so much in here, Lord. We thank you for the truths in the book of Romans. We understand that Jesus is the satisfactory payment, that we've all sinned and we owe you death, and yet you sent your Son to die in our place, to be the substitute, to pay the penalty. Lord, we thank you that you are satisfied, that the payment has been made, and there's not one thing that we do to satisfy you. It's already done. Lord, thank you that you are a just God, that you don't overlook sin, but you dealt with it in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the salvation which comes simply by faith. It is apart from any works that we could ever do. We are saved simply by faith. Lord, I pray if there's one person in this room who has never understood that today, right where they're sitting, they will put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They will trust in Him for eternal life, realizing everything has been done and that you are offering them a gift freely given for them to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. Lord, use us as we scatter out in this community. Use us to take this truth so people would know. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.